You are in the power zone now with DU. DU's Power Zone.
The Power Zone with DU is dedicated to bringing you insightful communication and resources that will guide you further in making your personal and professional goals a reality. Through candid, stimulating, and essential conversations, we focus on the 9 universal goals of success, which include career, finances, education, family, arts, attitude, health and wellness, leisure, and public service. Based upon these goals, we provide you, the listener, with practical measures of advancement.
Good evening, family, and welcome to the Power Zone with DU. I am your host, Darlene A. Anderson, motivational speaker, philanthropist, personal and professional consultant, and author of Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win When It Appears As If You've Already Lost. And you, my friend, have entered the Power Zone. Good evening and happy February, family. Yes, love is in the air. I am excited. You guys know I'm always excited about the show. We have an amazing lineup for the month of February and its entirety. We are talking about love. Love thyself, love thy community, love thy neighbor, love thy finances, love thy children. We are going in with love, dissecting that word and talking about what it really means to you. The month of February, love is in the air. Now, for all of our returning listeners, I want to thank you for coming back to the Power Zone each and every week. We appreciate you, and you know what we need for you to do. Tweet it out, LinkedIn it out, Facebook it out, Instagram it out, pass the word, and let everybody know that the Power Zone is full throttle for 2016. Now, if you're joining us for the very first time, well, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you out here. We want you to do the same. Pass the word on all your social media networks. And in addition, we invite you to check out the archives from our prior shows. There you will receive that candid, stimulating, and essential conversation to help motivate you and elevate you to your highest potential, both personally and professionally. Yes, that is what we're doing, family, on the Power Zone each and every week. Now, with that said, I know a couple of you, if you're on for the first time, you're wondering, what exactly is the Power Zone? And more so, what is Darlene's Utopia? Well, the Power Zone is a component of Darlene's Utopia. And Darlene's Utopia is a New York-based full-service consulting company founded in 2008 with the mission to empower, motivate, and provide resources for clients through consulting, advocacy, and events. Our goal is to help our clients, that means you, our listeners, reach their highest personal and professional potential, and we are doing that on this evening. Now, we want to also acknowledge our partners, Dinaz Jewelry. We want to thank Dinaz Jewelry for their sponsorship. We're going to go out on a little break where you'll learn more about Dinaz Jewelry, and we'll return in a moment.
Ladies, have you ever wondered, upon setting eyes on another woman, where did she get her jewelry? Well, you too can have that gorgeous and fabulous handcrafted fashion jewelry to accessorize your casual and formal outfit. Dinaz Jewelry is the place to shop for necklaces, earrings, and bracelets. They are available for home shows, events, and consultations. You can reach Dinaz Jewelry at dinazjewelry.com or contact them at 917-945-2286. Also, check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dinaz Jewelry. Experience Dinaz Jewelry, the feel good jewelry.
Thank you.
full-service consulting company created to empower, motivate, and provide resources for clients through coaching, speaking engagements, and events. Our goal is to help clients and event attendees reach their highest personal and professional potential. To learn more about Darlene's Utopia, log on to www.darlenesutopia.com.
Welcome back, family. You have re-entered the Power Zone with your host, Darlene A. Anderson. You all know that I get superly over-the-top excited each and every week as I'm bringing phenomenal guests your way. Well, tonight is no different. I met this gentleman on the train in Queens coming from an event at the Harvest Room. Shout out to the Harvest Room, where we have a magnitude of events via Darlene's Utopia. There, I was coming from the Harvest Room from a business meeting, and I met this gentleman on the train. And since such time, we've been in contact via social media. He's been diligent in asking me, you know, when you're going to have me on the show, when you're going to have me on the show. And I'm saying, please be patient. Please, please be patient. But the universe made it so to where I have him on a call tonight, and we're really going to talk about community, we're going to talk about mentorship, we're going to speak about love thyself, we're going to speak about writing, all of these amazing things. So without further ado, I introduce to you all the author, Mr. Kareem Hayes. Kareem, welcome to the Power Zone with DU.
Hey, Darlene, how you doing?
I am well.
Welcome. Happy to be on the Power Zone. I'm excited.
Awesome. And Happy New Year. It's been a while since we've seen each other last, but Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you. You as well.
Awesome. So we have a lot to talk about. Family, Kareem is a renowned author of the book titled Necessary Evil. So we're going to be speaking about the book. We're going to be speaking about Kareem's upbringing and how he's moving in his passion, in his calling to help motivate young people, but not just young people. Kareem, you're doing a lot as it relates to the underserved population. You're working with young people, but you're also working in correctional facilities. You're going out, you're speaking in different inner city communities. So we're going to speak about all of those things in addition to the book. So tell our listeners a little bit about Kareem.
Okay. Well, my name is Kareem Hayes. I'm originally from Harlem. I fell victim to a lot of the social ills that, you know, many urban young men face, prison, drug abuse, things of that nature. You know, my mom's got high because I was like 15 years old, you know. I sold drugs during my lifetime. You know, I was somewhat of a violent individual. I kind of try to breeze over that stuff. I don't like to dig into it too long. But, you know, one thing I like to stress to people is, you know, the two things that saved my life was, you know, one, I did have a father. I had a father in my life. I only knew him for 1 year, but that 1 year I kind of held on to it. And I always had a love for knowledge. I always had a thirst for knowledge and scholarship. So that kind of saved me, you know, my love for knowledge. And my love for knowledge took me from science, math, history, all the way to spirituality. And just my spirituality alone, without really getting into what anybody's personal belief is or who they call the Most High, what name they choose to call him. In general, just being a good person. You know, it's something that is a blanket statement, and I think it's something that belongs in every religion or every culture, you know. And at the core of being a good person as a man, you know, I knew that if I could not provide, protect, and be a leader for my immediate family, meaning the woman I'm with and my children and my mother, then I wasn't being sufficient and wasn't being who I really needed to be. So, you know, I just pressed on, and I've always been somewhat of a talented person. So, you know, writing, artwork, and things of that nature is another part of what saved me, you know?
Thank you. Thank you. Well said. You just said a couple of things that I want to kind of dive into if I can. Well, I want to say hello to Mom. Shout out to Mom. I've seen some of your footage. Actually, I've researched you a lot, and I've seen some great footage of you in which they've interviewed your mom. Your mom is a huge supporter of you, so I definitely want to acknowledge Mom and your lady, if that's okay. Mom,
yes.
And your lady, the two ladies in your life. Yes. Now, you said you are you have a love for knowledge. I love that. I read some things about you, and then I saw a piece in which you said that you called yourself kind of like a hood nerd. And I can relate to that. Growing up in the inner city, I was one of those girls. I was that girl where I had my street credibility, but I loved to read. I listened to 106.7, don't judge me. But I had still my urban side, as you say, your urban side. What was that like for you growing up with that knowledge and kind of sticking out like a sore thumb, but still being able to engage and navigate urban life?
I always had to fight back. Otherwise, I would be dealing with a lot more problems. And honestly speaking, I think I didn't really get it right until I got into my 30s, because first people tell you you're acting like your wife, you know, and then you kind of adapt a almost hood persona to satisfy your peers so that they'll accept you. You know what I mean? And I remember, like, you know, I used to get the teasing that people, like, my nickname is Infinity from, like, Inf comes from me going on and on and on about science and just talking about stuff that people don't want to hear. So they was like, yo, you know what? You know, and a lot of dudes around me were 5%ers, but my search for knowledge kind of went beyond the 5% lessons. So it went from Space God, because I was always talking about astronomy. I had, like, a fascination with astronomy in my team. Space God to Infinity. So they started calling me Infinity. But I tell you the truth, it was easy to navigate, because I think that people can appreciate you for being who you are. I think that, you know, one thing about, like, with urban environment or the hood streets is that the people there love authenticity. So if you are representing yourself the way that you really are, then people are not going to have that much issue with you, you know. And then another thing that I noticed was as I kind of gained more information, I went into this militant stage where, you know, I would debate with my family about Thanksgiving. You know, I would debate with dudes about eating pork. I was scrutinizing everybody's behavior to the point where I was isolated. And I had to learn that real knowledge and being a person that has real information, you can actually cater to other people and meet them where they're at. And I think that's what made me a better teacher. That's what made me better with working with students. That's what made me better at elevating people who might be a street person or urban person, and just elevating his perspective to a different level. And it's based on me talking to them and starting them from where they're at. You know, anybody could be, like, say, condescending and make a person feel small, but it's a much bigger challenge to make a person smile. Even how when you get on the call and you say, I'm excited, you're invoking an energy that is like, you know, hey, let's wake up. Like, we're excited. It's a more difficult task to lift people up and motivate them than it is to make them cry or make them sad. Like, and what I mean by that is, you know, when you look at television, the comedian doesn't really get the credit he deserves. And I always feel like the comedian is the greatest actor, still has to get on stage and have a smile. And that good energy attracts good energy. So I try to kind of live by that.
Thank you so very much for sharing that. You've educated quite a few people on the call this evening, and I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking back to how, and maybe some of us on the call that are social workers, psychologists, psychiatrists, any form of human service in which your profession calls for you to assess people and then move to actions of interventions with them. They always say that every time someone masters a skill within those, I guess, areas of concentration, that they start assessing people that are close to them. They'll start assessing their family. They'll start assessing their friends. And it's like, okay, well, that's your thing. That's your concentration. But you have to be mindful of everyone around you. And I like the fact that you said that it's easier to appreciate everything else of other people rather than trying to change them, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it's really important, because even in appreciating and engaging, sometimes you are able to change people, but it takes a skilled person to understand that. So, Kareem, you hit something that I wanted to reference. If the offer, you spoke about infinity, and I was going to ask you, what was the origin of your name? And you just dived into it. If the offer, how did that come about? Was it just one day and you said, well, they call me Infinity, let me just call myself Int? Where did that come from?
Yeah, it was Infinity. And then I was trying to walk around and be tough. So I tried to make it like infrared. and then as I got older and I kind of just kept on soul searching, I said, you know what? It stands for I Am Now and Forever. So the name of my company is INF 360 Inc., Incorporated, and just that, it's an acronym for I Am Now and Forever, and it's a celebration of your soul's immortality. You know, without getting specific, because I don't get into the religious thing. I'm just into upliftment. Yeah, that's what the name stands for.
Let's talk about the book if we can.
Mm-hmm.
Necessary Evil.
Yes. Necessary Evil is based on the social ecology of New York's drug trade during the mid to early 90s, loosely based on a lot of my experiences, but I changed the names and locations to protect the innocent. That's my spiel. Yeah, you know, the book explores our generation and how we grew up, and I think it fills in a gap. You know, one of the things I talk about is that it's based on the children who became the parents of this generation, and kind of like what I'm doing is I'm bridging a gap. You know, we grew up with hip hop. Hip hop used to mimic the streets. We grew up in an age where the streets started to mimic hip hop, where the musicians began to dictate the fads and how we dressed, and it used to be the other way around. And we also bear witness to hip hop becoming something that a lot of young urbanites can actually make money off of, as well as looking at the whole street dichotomy with people selling drugs and that becoming something where you can't make money because of RICO law and different laws that were being implemented, especially for our generation. You know, we witnessed the crack era and the crack epidemic from a little child's perspective, watching our parents get messed up. But we were hands-on with HIV, with gang violence, with Molly, e-pills, this new fad of drugs that's coming out right now. So, you know, it talks about witnessing all that stuff and the political background of it. And the topics are somewhat urban, but the dialogue, I made sure to keep the dialogue intellectual, because a lot of times people don't look at our story and see how deep it really is, because it's just overshadowed by the violence or poor writing with books that fall in the urban genre. You know what I mean? See, my thing with our people is that you can't complain. You know, we can't stress the problem. We have to stress the solution. So, you know, whereas somebody would say, you know, I know that people are going to think because I'm a black man, I'm this. Or I know people are going to perceive me that because I'm a black man, I'm that. I get more into the, well, you're going to perceive me like that. And because you're going to perceive me like that, that even creates more space for me to win, because I'm a surprise. It's unexpected. You're not expecting me to be this articulate. You're not expecting the book to be written that well. You know what I mean? I don't worry about people perceiving me a certain way or stereotype, because I know I'm not that stereotype. And I think that the best way to destroy that stereotype is to lead by example. So I have times where there's people, like, you know, there's a mall in my neighborhood, and the security guards in the mall, they get an attitude, you know, they don't want me selling my book in the mall. But I still brought my cameraman through and did a commercial for the mall. I still smile and shake their hand every morning, because I know that my happiness is what the power is. You know, people expect a black dude to, you know, expect me to act a certain way, but I'm not. I'm not, because I'm not going to take away Malachi's father. I'm not going to take away Natasha's husband. I'm not going to take away Magali's son. You know, I got a bigger purpose out here.
Awesome. Yes, you did, and then some, but it's a beautiful thing. We need to educate our listeners. We have a lot of younger adults that are tuning in and looking for answers, looking to get out of their circumstances, and this is a great platform in which they can listen in on and get the resources and the motivation that they need. We want to also provide some of these resources for our listeners to say, you know what, you're in the inner city communities now, but you have a plan. I love the fact that you speak about plans, you speak about writing. You have to see where you want to be and then get there. So family, if you're listening in and you're not logged on to the Power Zone page, please do so in your leisure, and you can get these resources and take action in your next progressive step to change your life. Now, IMSA offer, we're going to go out on what we call the song of the show. I want to know what song inspires you and why.
It's a song called This Fear by Nas and Damani Marley. He talks about a lot of black leaders in the actual song. And he talks, you know, the song talks about a lot of the social injustices that we deal with. But he keeps on referencing this spear, you know what I mean? And it's like this. It's like no matter what, he's going to win, he's going to fight. And I think that's the same way I feel when I get up in the morning, you know, because a big part of what I do is I visualize the amount of money that I'm going to make. And then I tell myself I'm not going home until I make it, you know what I mean? And I just practice that every day. So, you know, one of my mantras is health, wealth, and prosperity. If you're thinking that you want to do something great and you have the potential to do it, don't be scared of self-doubt. You know, all the greats have self-doubt. Muhammad Ali had self-doubt. I'm sure Jay-Z has self-doubt. I mean, I'm sure Obama has self-doubt, you know, but you have to overpower that self-doubt. It's just like exercising, you know. If you do 10 push-ups for a week, next week you'll be able to do 15. Because, you know, adversity is what defines character. Anybody can win when it's comfortable. It's when you win in the midst of discomfort that shows who you really are.
And on that note, we're going to go out on Imp the Author's motivational song. That is the song of the show, family.
Shantina ya pinky man a mama warrior. Despair, hey. Fear and desperation, no depression can't carry out. Despair, hey. Ayatollah Idi Amin, many like your man a Maasai warrior. Despair, hey. Fear and desperation, no depression can't carry out. Despair, like burning spear and such before me. Guns of power, controlled by assets, owned by financial forecasters. Who are the masters? They're the gangsters, they're the bankers, the ones who tax again. The masters.
gangsters, the Wall Street war chiefs, the elitist groups. The masses, they pray to Jesus, saying he will see us through. The masters are the aristocratic. The masses ask the Most High on his way here. I'm trying to stay clear, my mind is my mind and they spear.
Hey, I say, despair. Huh. Shaka Zulu, Bobo Shanti, Mana Gideon, Mana Mama Warrior.
To the point where you miss sleep. With that said, this led with this Ruger and that shooter, submachine gun rat-a-tat through ya. Copper tops, holler points to do you something bad. Our future is misled. Three strikes, it's no school when the teacher strikes. This economy, this monopoly, with no job, just own your property. Now it's back to what come natural. Must survive anyhow you have to. Despair, desperation, but I have no fear when I hold this spear.
Some boy knows that me nah smell God, this beer nah beg friends. Man I run racket, man I run scheme, man I run race, man I run dumb bends. Can't touch Sheena, Hina, Weena, I in a contact lens. Man I run from police and I run dumb belt and dollars and nah make sense.
So, heads up to my defense, all appointed is my preference. Should have been the third, don't know what you heard, get referred by the wrong reference. When this beer start dispense, it a fight on a tear true fence. Dispember your members and all level him, but he was seen enough segments. Drugs, when I run risk, when all I run out of time and ends. When I run up and down, when I run for them life, when I run down this rent. Don't know one I yard and food, they are road, then man, I think I touch pavement. This pair was a tool that was used to enslave man and make man servant. Escape from this pair and desperation become more urgent. Man can need to cleanse and wash out them soul with spiritual detergent. A distant army, a distant relatives controlling the circumference. And any man moving, no permission, they're feeling the circumstance. Stop. Despair. Shanti mana, hey, mana mama warrior.
Despair,
hey, care of your recession and depression can't carry ya. Despair, hey, in a city youth them rise it up the skies as AK-47.
Welcome back, family. You have re-entered the Power Zone with your host, Darlene A. Anderson. I am here with Imp the Author, a.k.a. Kareem Hayes, and we are having great conversation as it relates to his book, Necessary Evil, Philanthropy. Kareem is educating us. He's dropping some nuggets as it relates to urban knowledge, history. We're talking about community. We're just really having a great time on the call. Now, Insta Offer, I love when one of the students at Essex County College asks you how long it took you to write your book. You stated it took you 5 months to write it and 5 years to publish it. What was that process like?
Okay, well, I wrote the book, and then, like, my friend, my best friend, I had him read it, and he said it was good. So everybody that I had that I let read the book, they said, you know, they liked the book. I also was doing customized clothes at the time. So I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just know I didn't want to work for anybody unless I was helping people on my own account. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. I left it alone. I put it down for a while. And something sparked in me, and it was like, yo, I have this book sitting here. The clothing line wasn't doing that well. I was like, I have this book sitting here. Let me do it. My problem with the book is I'm a very abstract person. I'm not very linear. So dates, times, I don't remember stuff like that. I remember songs, you know, sceneries, events. I don't like to go over my work. So I had to get my 11th grade poetry teacher to edit my book. Then I had my best friend Al, who was going to Columbia College, I had him edit my book. Then I paid $1,600 to have a professional editor edit my book. Mm-hmm. And then I went over it and I put it out, because I refuse to put out a book with a whole bunch of errors. And then even when people read it and they told me about an error, I pull the book back and I re-edit it again. If I find one word that's wrong, my next print, I'm going to fix that word, because it's just important for me to be as close to perfection as possible, you know. And I know, you know, I had said this before, but sometimes people expect, you know, a book from coming from an urban genre to have errors or mishaps, and, you know, and I can't allow that, not for me, not for what I'm trying to do. Plus, I don't want to insult the intellect of my audience, because the first people that support me, you know, I sold 11,000 copies independently, and the main people that support me are people from urban environment. I don't want them to feel like I don't think they're intelligent.
That is well said. I love the fact that you just mentioned the processes that it took to writing your book and how you did not stop at just one edit, and you went forward every time you see something, every time you get an idea. And this is for some of our potential writers on the call that are feeling as if they're not at the moment in their life, the time in their life where they can go forth and write. It is a process. You literally have to jump into it to be a better person, to be a writer. If you want to write, then write. There is no prerequisite outside of the love to write. I love that you said, you know, you're a college student, your papers, that could be your book manuscript. That's your manuscript. You're writing papers. How many amazing papers have we written? You get that A+, and you're like, I'm holding on to this forever for the rest of my life to show my kids and my great-grands and my great-great-great-grands. It is the same thing. You can take that and you can publish it. I love that you speak to that. How do the young people receive that?
Yeah, young people, they receive me well. You know, a lot of times, like, you know, I've gone to group homes, you know, colleges, high schools. And when I go there, the staff is like, listen, you know, this is a tough group and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, my personal opinion is that it takes a lion to raise lion cubs. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I share with a lot of young people is that, you know, I have similar experiences. You know, one of the major things is that the information I'm giving them is pure. I come from a similar background. And I talk with passion. I make sure they know that I care and I'm really there for them. And that's not something that can be rehearsed. That has to come from your gut.
Exactly. It's innate. It's something that's in you that you can't describe. It just happens. It's like lights on. And lights on doesn't necessarily have to be a production team. Lights on is just ready to go. As soon as they say, next up, Insta offer, you are stepping out and you are doing what you have to do to motivate people. Looking at you when you put reference to your mentor, and you stated that you were told by your mentor once that anything that you enjoy doing as a child is what you should do as an adult, as a career. And you could do it for free because you love it that much. Do you still today feel the same way?
Yeah, I still feel the same way. And all I do is are things that I like to do. You know, when I sell my book, I get to interact with people and talk. You know, and believe it or not, even in the process of selling my book outside, it is very uplifting. It's very spiritual when I meet people, because people tend to walk away with a smile, and people will say, yo, I can't believe you're still out here. You're still doing it. The first couple of months, nobody believes. And now after they see the progress, they really believe. And it just feels so good because I feed off of the energy of the people around me. I love to write. I still love to draw. So, you know, the path is hard, but it's so much fun. It's so much better than working for somebody else. But I work twice as hard as I would have worked for anybody else. That's what I want to say to people, too. If you're an entrepreneur, please dedicate your time to it like it's a 9-to-5. You know, don't expect something to come to fruition. Don't think that you're going to write a book, throw it on Amazon, and you're going to get rich overnight. You know, anything that you do, not saying that it doesn't have to be easy, because the laws of attraction, you can say it's going to be easy, and it's going to be easy. But there's a rap song by an artist, and one of his favorite lines, that I live by this line, he says, hard work beats talent if the talent doesn't work hard. Somewhere out there's a guy that writes way better than me, but he's not going to outwork me. Whatever it is that you want to be, you have to live and breathe it, but don't treat it like a hobby. You know, whatever you put your energy towards is who you become. So if you're a sprint operator and you put all your energy into being a sprint operator, that's who you're going to be. You know what I mean? And if you're an athlete and you put all your energy into being an athlete, then that's who you're going to be. So it's really simple. It's a simple equation, and it baffles my mind that I had to get all the way to 39 years old and live so many years to really figure this out. Whatever you dedicate your time to is what you'll ultimately manifest.
Well said. It's the Oscar. You referenced something, and I want to put emphasis to it for just a second. You said it takes a lion to raise lion cubs. And we were speaking to personality. I believe you were speaking to personality, correct?
I was speaking to personality and also background. You know, it's a pet peeve that I have with the educational system. I've worked with different organizations that were like community-based organizations. And I had an issue with a lot of the politics, and a lot of times I just noticed that they stress for academic change rather than social change. You know, some of my and this is purely my personal opinion, but I just don't feel that a Ivy League student from, you know, Arkansas is equipped to talk to little Raheem, who's from 145th in Amsterdam. You know, in theory, they might have been educated about what goes on in the urban environment, but unless you have the practical experience, you can't tell him what to do when his mother hasn't come home for 3 days, but he still has to do his homework and still has to feed himself. You know, because some information only comes from experience, you know? So that was, you know, one of my biggest issues in those organizations. And what happened was I ended up taking the weight of maybe the more the more at-risk teens or the more at-risk children. I would kind of take that caseload because I knew how to deal with them better. And, you know, our community, we need more of us in our community. And that means that more of us need to educate ourselves. Everybody doesn't have to be a rapper. Everybody doesn't have to be a basketball player. We need more principals. We need more deans. We need more teachers. We need more firemen. Our children need to see more of a representation of themselves in their immediate environment and in authority figures for them to feel comfortable in their environment. You know, we have people from a different culture policing our environment, so it ultimately looks to our children like we ain't in control. So how can a child respect you when you don't want them to curse and make noise on the bus when they don't see any images of authority that look like you? So, you know, but it's one person at a time. You know what I mean? Like I said before, I don't like to dwell on the problem. I'd rather dwell on the solution. So what I've done is, you know, to remove myself from the politics, because I'm an author, because I've sold 11,000 copies, because that gives me a platform to stand on, now I've been pitching my young men's group. It's a 10-week program. Hopefully, I'll be able to initiate it in Banana Kelly High School up in the Bronx. I'll be talking to them tomorrow, and, you know, we'll be going over everything with them. And I was offered to go speak at Rikers Island, so I'm excited about that.
That's beautiful, and it is much needed. It is much needed. And acknowledgments to those that have families and friends, and you're sending them literature if they're away, serving time. Keep feeding them knowledge, family. Keep feeding them knowledge. I spoke at a community event with a young man. He had to be around 18, 19. And I mentioned my book. And when I took it out, his exact words, and they always laugh at me because I try to talk like them. He said, that's my word, miss. I just read that book up north a couple of weeks ago. And the whole class bust out laughing. And I say, wow, well, thank you. And it put a smile on my face, and it really touched my heart that he actually used that book within his time for the betterment of himself in preparation of when he came home. That is a big thing, and I just want to acknowledge those on the call that are continuously, week after week, sending literature to your loved ones and friends to support. And congratulations to you in advance for going and serving and just really helping the reentry population.
Definitely, definitely. You know, I just feel like I belong on the front line, and rather than complain, I'm going to do what's in my power to help.
You know, and this conversation with you, I'm reflecting back to a literacy a math literacy workshop that I took last week, and we were talking about educating young people in different concepts, theories, connections. How do we educate our young people from a perspective of not just 2 + 2 = 4, but really dissecting what is 2, what is 2, what is equal, what is plus? And one of the things that the facilitator mentioned, she said, oftentimes we get discouraged because we think that everything is just supposed to be like a straight line to solve problems, to success. Like everything is a straight line. Whereas success is not a straight line. Solving problems is not a straight line. It just doesn't happen overnight, and it just doesn't happen with one approach. It takes a lot of different facets, so to speak, to reach that answer, to reach success. And it looks like a squiggly line. And family, if you can hear me, it's a squiggly line and then a little tiny arrow at the top. That squiggly line is every type of component, every type of experience, every type of everything that it takes to get that answer, to solve the problem. And I'm listening to you and all of your triumphs and everything that you've gone through to get to this point to where you're able to take your story and educate others. And it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I remember speaking to this lady, and she was 60 years old. And I said, you know, I wanted to show her my book. And she said, I know about everything inside your book. And I said, Miss, you know, do you recall when hip-hop first started? And she said, yeah. I said, you know, the generation before you probably thought it was noise. And she said, yeah. But after a while, when they saw the consciousness, they saw the beauty of it. She said, yeah. I said, well, I'm the generation after you. And I'm just trying to show you the beauty of my generation and how we perceive the world. And she turned around and she bought the book. So it's the same thing with these kids. We have to show them that we identify.
Thank you for suggesting that. I definitely will. Some of these songs, Kareem, I tell you, I don't know. It hurts my ears because it's not rap. It's not like what we're used to. But I'll definitely listen. I've had a great time with you on the call. Time passes quickly when you're having fun. I definitely want our listeners to be able to reference you from this call. So family, I'm going to give you a couple of sites if you're listening in on your phone. But remember, you can always go back to the episode page and click into KareemHayes.com website. Again, that's KareemHayes.com. You can also find him at InTheOffer. He is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also find him at InTheOffer@gmail.com. There you will find his latest happenings on his page. I invite you to follow him, check out his videos. It's phenomenal. He's really making change within our communities and educating our young people, which is desperately needed. And also, if you're not a part of the solution, then you are a part of the problem. It is your charge, it is your obligation to grab up a young person and help pour into them so they can be better for our tomorrow. It's just not their tomorrow, it's your tomorrow as well, and it's your charge to make that difference. Kareem, it's been a pleasure having you on the call. Did I get everything in? Did we miss anything?
We got everything.
Good, good, my brother. I'm looking forward to the next time that we can sit face-to-face and chat and collaborate on a couple of things. I definitely want to speak to you about what you're doing out in New Jersey. I'm actively in New Jersey. New Jersey has become my second home, as I heard you say on one of your videos. It's my second home as well. Let's get together and make further greatness. All right? Listeners of the Power Zone with DU, it's been a pleasure having you join us on this evening. Continue to tune in each and every Wednesday evening at 10 p.m. as we're bringing you insightful and resourceful communication. Until we meet again, be well.
The content of the Power Zone with DU, a component of Darlene's Utopia, is intended for general information purposes only. The views expressed by the show's host and their guests are their own and shall not be construed in any way as advice from the Power Zone with DU or Darlene's Utopia. Personal perspectives expressed by the producer, writers, editors, hosts, and guests will always be presented as such. We encourage you to seek professional advice for any problem in which you may have. no liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Darlene's Utopia or the Power Zone with DU.